All right, welcome to episode 49 of the Bobbycast from my house with Matt Overton, who is the deep snapper for the Indianapolis Colts and has been a show member for the past month and a half or so. Slowly.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah, it's been fun.
So in the off season, I guess you do something every off season to kind of learn something. What's your shelf life as an NFL player, you think? Like, how old can you be and still do what you do?
Well, Adam Vinatieri is going to be 45 at the end of this year.
Adam Vinatieri is also
a kicker
who doesn't get hit.
He's
get hit.
I get hit a little bit. So I would have to say 10 to 12 years.
Left?
No.
Oh, total.
Total. So I want to get to year 10.
So where are you now?
So I'm going in year 6.
Okay, so you think you got 5 more years in you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Let's go.
Pull that mic a little closer. All right, so Matt Overton is here. Do you ever watch? And I don't. I've never seen the show, which is the weirdest thing. You ever watch? What's Chris Lee's? Is that the name of the show? Chris Lee Knows Best? No? Todd Knows It? Look.
I know what you're talking about.
Look at Mike D. Look that up, because I didn't know the show. Todd Chris Lee is the guy's name. And it's on USA because I just saw it.
I've seen one episode.
What's it called?
Chris Lee Knows Best.
Okay. So I didn't know them from that show. And apparently it's a big show. But I've gotten to know them not knowing they were on TV.
Yeah.
So I met Todd at the wildfire relief. And someone was just like, hey, he does some stuff on TV. I didn't know who he was. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
He probably didn't know who I was. We were just talking like humans. And so I saw him again at the ACMs. And I knew he had a TV show, but didn't know much about it. And then I met Savannah, his daughter.
Yeah.
Who was super nice too. And we talked for like half an hour. And then I was like, hey, and I was like freaking out because they loved the show. I never even seen the show.
I've seen one episode.
And to be so, because I was just talking, and this is the, what I'm about to say, it makes me sound stupid. I was just talking to my spray tan girl who just left.
Yeah.
And she was like, I love that show. I watch it so much. You know them? I was like, I guess I do. I think they live down the road. But you watch one episode?
I've seen one, yeah.
Why not two or eight?
I don't watch a lot of TV, to be honest with you.
You don't?
No, not really.
Chris Lee's Knows Best, huh? It's like a Christian version of the Kardashians.
It's a Southern version of the Kardashians, I would say.
It is?
A little bit, yeah.
But people love them. Is the difference? Like, nobody loves the Kardashians unless you're like 15 or you're 22 and want to be exactly like them. Nobody goes, I have a passion for the Kardashian.
Yeah.
You're like, it's like a car wreck. Like, you want to see what wild things they do because they're rich and they're out. But people love the show because
the dad is hilarious.
That's what everybody
says.
Really
is.
So is he just like over the? And again, this is in no way a slam. If anything, it's awesome because they were such normal, nice people to me. And I had to Google because I was backstage at the ACMs and I was talking to Savannah, the daughter, and I had to Google her because she said her name was Savannah.
And there's two daughters, correct?
No idea.
Two daughters and a son? I don't know. I know there's a daughter and a son for sure.
Savannah, but they are really nice. And if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I watched that show and I wonder what they're like in real life. They are really nice. And
shout out to the Chris.
And they have no reason to be nice to me. So, what do you read, Mike?
Well, Mike, can you figure this? Do they live here in Nashville?
They do.
Do they film in Nashville?
I think they live in like Brentwood or Franklin.
But I think they film in Atlanta.
Yeah, it says filmed in Atlanta, and then this season is currently filmed here.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm behind.
So they were in Atlanta. Okay, well, whatever. My whole story was, I was just thinking about that before you got here. I didn't know them as TV people. I just knew them as regular folks, and they're really nice. And when I mentioned it to her a minute ago, she was like, wow, that's so cool. They're really nice. And I was like, yeah. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
So then she left. I'm glad you didn't get to see her, because that's kind of an embarrassing part of my life when you have to meet someone spray tan girl. Because I do. If you playing in the NFL, if you told those dudes in the locker room you had a spray tan girl, how would that go over?
Well, me and McAfee, punter, Pat McAfee, we used to get spray tans before every game.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
so that's not crazy to you? Like, is it a joke, though?
A little bit, yeah. Because we always, when we went on the road and it was a big-time game, we had to get spray tans. But the thing was, and you can attest to this, is that we had all white uniforms on away games. And you sweat profusely throughout the game, and it's that spray tan stuff will stay in our uniforms.
So your uniforms were like my sheets.
Yeah.
They would slowly become orange with time.
We would go to Australian Gold or whatever, or Suntan City, and we'd get spray tans at Suntan City.
Two big dudes. I don't know. Is he a big guy, though?
No.
But is he bigger than a normal human?
Yeah. He's 6 foot and 230.
That's pretty
yeah,
big, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you're a big, you're bigger than a normal human, but I wouldn't say you're not, I'm
honestly probably pretty small to like NFL standards.
You know, for me, the crazy thing was a few years ago, I went and I had dinner with Eli Manning.
Yeah.
And to see how big he is.
That's a big deal, by the way.
Yeah, it was...
One-on-one dinner?
No.
Oh.
It was, there was like six of us, and okay. Archie was there, and Eli... Peyton was playing in the Super Bowl. And okay. So we went down...
New York?
Nope. Or, in Miami.
Okay.
Because it was the year they lost to the
Colts.
Saints.
Okay, when he was playing for the Colts.
Yeah, I was playing all for right. the... Yeah, so... Yeah. Of his... Yeah, yeah. It was the year they lost to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And so we went, and it was... I never tell the story because when I tell stories like this, I'm such a name dropper, and I don't like to be that guy.
Yeah,
I really do have a bunch of cool stories.
I've never heard it.
That I'd never that
just
I,
drop them. Come on, let's go.
That I just don't. I never want to be a douchebag.
You're not.
And so, my whole part of the story is that it was Cooper and Archie, and Eli, and a couple of my buddies and me, and we go to dinner, and Eli was gigantic.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look gigantic on TV, and he looks kind of dopey.
Yeah.
So you just think he's like this little dopey kid who gets yeah. beat up out on the field. Because I was like, oh, I threw another interception. But he's gigantic. And yeah. I don't know. Look up Eli's stats. I
mean, he's 6'4", 230 probably.
It was so shocking to me that someone I see on TV who just looked like a normal dude was that big of a dude.
Have you met Peyton?
No.
He's enormous.
I've never met Peyton.
I mean, he's 6'6"-ish.
Yeah.
230. I mean, that's big.
How big is Eli?
6'4", 218.
That's a big dude.
He's pretty big.
And that's not even big because he's standing in a huddle. He's not the biggest dude.
No.
Did you ever play with Peyton?
No.
He left
the
before
year
you
I got
there.
Yeah.
What was kind of his reputation around the locker room?
He ran the show. He was the captain. He was the sheriff of the Colts. He built that organization.
Was he... As a leader sometimes, you have to not be liked.
For sure.
It's better to... In my experience, it's awesome to be liked, but it's way better to be respected, especially if you're running something.
Yes.
And at times you have to make decisions. And I do this with my friends. I work with all my friends. You see it every mm-hmm. morning. Like, these are all my people.
Yeah.
These are people that I've known forever, but you got to be the boss sometimes. And sometimes you have to do things and say things that everybody's like, oh, man, Bobby's such a dick.
Yeah.
But it's better to be respected than everybody just get along and be liked.
Yeah.
Was Peyton... At times, like, you got to respect the dude even though you don't agree with what he says? Or was he universally just loved by everybody?
He was loved, hated, and respected. And the stories that I've heard, he would literally kick people out of practice for being late.
Oh, that's my boy! That's my dude right there!
Running a wrong pattern.
Yeah.
Catching or dropping a pass.
Wow.
Would literally X out of all the plays and he'd run his own stuff. I mean, he commanded the entire team.
Until Brady won this last Super Bowl, and because of the Super Bowl, eventually there's a point where you're like, okay, you have enough championships. You're the best.
Yeah.
Until Brady won this last one, I always said Peyton Manning was the greatest quarterback that ever played because of what he did. He was the team. He didn't need an offensive coordinator. He needed nothing except his – but with Brady, Brady's now the greatest of all time in my mind.
For sure. He solidified that.
Everyone
agrees.
And it was always arguable. You could have even said Brady beforehand. Yeah. Or you could have said Montana.
Yeah.
Or you could have said Roger Staubach. And that's the older generation. Yeah. It's just not arguable anymore. It's Tom Brady.
And the way they did it, though, too. I mean, suspended 4 games right off the bat. Came back and just literally never skipped a beat. And then to be down, 28-3?
Yeah, it was movie-like.
For sure.
That's why they're making a movie.
There's no doubt. And... Dude, everyone on Twitter that night was like, all right, Brady's the GOAT.
As was I, and I wasn't in the camp of Brady being the GOAT. I always thought it was Peyton Manning until Brady now.
For sure, that game, yes.
Yes, that's what took it over for me.
Yeah.
I have a friend that works in Indy. You actually know him. He works on WISH.
What's his name? AC?
Yeah, AC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he would tell me the story about Peyton Manning during practice switching out jerseys so he could donate them.
Yes.
Like he would run part of practice, take his jersey, and then sign it and then donate.
Pre-game. He would do that. He would literally walk out. So he'd walk out in a jersey, and he'd say, yeah, it's game worn, pre-game. He'd come out again for pre-game with all the pads on, take that one off, and then he'd wear a game one. So he would always have 2 or 3 jerseys to sign and donate after each game.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's respect because that's, you know what? Not anybody not just anybody can have that many jerseys to just give away.
But that for also to be a thing.
Yeah, it was a thing. Like, sure.
I'm going to do that. And sure, it doesn't seem like a lot of effort, but it is effort that you don't have to do that.
You don't.
You just don't have to do that. But he's loved in Indy. He'll end up running for office and being the governor.
We were hoping that he was going to be like semi percentage owner this offseason, really? Like GM. Everyone was calling his name, like, please come back to Indy.
Yeah, I love that dude. I didn't mean it, but my point was that Eli Manning's huge. What are you? What height?
6'1" on a good day.
So you're a deep snapper.
Long snapper.
Okay, what's the difference?
I don't know. It says long snapper in the program, but some people say deep snapper. I don't know.
Is that just because I played high school ball only and there was a deep snapper?
I think the deep snapper is like the old school name.
Well, back when we wore leather helmets in the 50s.
Yes. Deep snapper. Yeah, I was the deep snapper.
When you were in high school, were you good at other positions?
Yeah, I played everything.
Did you play defense?
Yeah.
What did you play?
Linebacker, D-line, on the offensive line, played every position on the offensive line, fullback a little bit.
Were you elite as a high school player?
No.
You really weren't?
Mm-mm. No, I was probably one of the best every year on my team. And then one of the best, I don't know, in our conference. I was like, I don't know, tier two-ish, meaning tier one being like the best in the entire. I was second team all league.
How do you get to be a long snapper, though, of all the positions? Like, how do you, because it's not something you go as an eighth grader, like, I'm about to be a crazy good long snapper.
I had no idea what it was. In high school, I played center my freshman year, and the coach called up everybody after practice, like, hey, we need a long snapper. And of course, no one knew what that was. And we had tryouts right after practice. And literally, whoever was the best to do it got the job. And I was the best at it, but I was also playing center at the time, too. So it was just like, all right, you playing center and you're going to long snap. And I just did it. I don't remember doing it in high school at all until my senior year when I knew that getting a scholarship could be a thing.
So you went to college where?
I went to Diablo Valley Junior College first.
And it's you, like a as, a deep, as a long snapper?
Long snapper, linebacker. I played defense. That was my thing.
Yeah.
And then got a scholarship to Western Washington 2 years after playing at Diablo Valley. And that was for defense and long snapper.
And so where do you go from there?
Man, I got to Western Washington. That's a Division II school. Nobody really goes to the NFL out of there. But fortunately, I walked into a situation where they had an All-American punter and kicker for 4 years straight. That was one of the best in the country at all levels. He was draft eligible, whatnot, and I was in class my first 3 weeks on campus. I had just moved up to Washington. I get a text from my coach saying, hey, Michael Kanan is his name. He's got a workout for the Seahawks right now on the field. He needs someone to snap to him. You need to be out there in 30 minutes. I'm like, cool. Grab my stuff. Totally against NCAA regulations to do that. Could have got all my eligibility taken away doing that, working in front of a scout. And went out there and just, I guess, did well. Because the scout was like, dude, I'm going to be looking out for you in 2 years. Said some great things to my coach. My coach really got on me for that. You know, it's like, hey, man, this is real deal. I think he sees something in you. You should probably take this a little seriously and get some work in the off season and go some camps and get some coaching and see what happens in 2 years. So that's kind of what really, you know, made my dream more so of a reality of like, well, this is, could be something here. Because it was always my dream and aspiration to play in the NFL at a young age. But I knew how hard it was. You know what I'm saying?
As an NFL player, like, I just look at you. Like, how would you think every girl would be trying to get knocked out by every NFL player?
We have a bad rap, dude.
No, it's bad. First of all, I don't think it's a bad. I don't think it's NFL players. I think it's dudes in general.
Yeah, but it's. Yeah.
But professional athletes have a lot of testosterone, a good amount of money. They travel a lot,
and we're all assholes.
I mean, you.
That's what they say. No,
not all, but dudes in general are.
Well, yeah, I know that, but
I don't. I think with the culture that you're in, it does. Chris Rock said it: a guy is only as faithful as his options.
Okay.
And so I would, and every girl has got to be throwing themselves at NFL players.
The bad ones, though.
The bad players or the bad girls?
The bad ones. You don't want the snags. Remember I told you. You don't want the snags. Those are the ones you got to be careful. Those are the
snags
ones.
Are people who snag up your life, yeah. Right? But I'm saying
in it for the wrong thing.
But guys just want to get laid.
I get that for sure. There's no doubt about that.
That's what I will be worried about is when you start having sex, babies happen accidentally sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah.
And girls want to have sex with NFL players.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like on the road.
So are we talking about hooking up or are we talking about actually finding somebody?
It's both because I think maybe they look, if I can hook up, then that can be the first step into getting in significant. Because I think long-term play is to get an NFL player. Short-term play is to get an NFL player for the night and maybe get pregnant. And then I get an NFL player or a paycheck.
Yeah. But, you know, the smart ones don't go after NFL players. They go after baseball and basketball. That's big-time money. It's guaranteed.
But they don't even know that. I don't think it's about women or men. Most people don't know that. They just see the Andrew Luck, the Tom Brady's, the LeBron's, and just go, everybody's making millions of dollars. I just got to be the pro athlete.
For sure.
It's not even a
They think we're all...
It's just a human thing.
Filthy rich, you know.
Mike, would you have known the difference that baseball players and basketball players get guaranteed money and NFL players don't?
No, I wouldn't know.
So that's not a general... I do because I'm a huge sports fan.
Yeah.
And have friends that are professional athletes.
Yeah.
But I don't think people know that. Like, how would you... Dude, wouldn't you...
These girls are smart on Instagram, dude. They're smart.
Do they come at you?
Yeah, they're smart. They know what's up.
What do they do?
What's your inbox like?
It's filled, man. And I'm not going to lie. I'll go through and, like, see what they're all about.
You're a dude.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm single. I'm checking it out. But
like after a game, like you're on the field, you're in your pads. Like that's where you're your strongest.
Yeah.
Like that's where you're on the field in your pads, like at the end of the game. And these people are everywhere. You probably walk out and just point and be like, hey, I'd like to meet you. And you probably get to meet them. Like I'm not wrong.
No, you're not.
Because right now in our society, the professional athlete, the rock star, you're our royalty. We don't have kings and queens.
Yeah.
You're the royalty of America. Professional athletes, rock stars, I mean, the famous people.
For sure.
So you can have whoever you want.
I get that. But also another thing, too, that, you know, football, we're in and out of that city. Basketball, they're on the road 10 days straight. You know, they're in. That's, you know, they can go out and actually have a good time and party a little bit.
Have you walked up to Fields that like to meet her and then met her?
No.
Oh,
never happened.
Man, I feel like I would do that all the time.
Never happened.
Like, yeah, I probably...
We don't have time. We really don't. We show up the night before.
What about Indy, though? Lockdown. At home, because they worship the Colts in Indy.
Yeah, but we're slacking in that department of several attractive women.
You don't think you don't think that Indianapolis is comparable to, let's say, let me give it, okay, it's not like Miami.
No.
But because I think the region that you live in,
if
it's a colder region, there's not as many people outside, they're not doing as many outdoor activities, so... The fitness level isn't as high. When you look at the warm places, everybody's in shape.
For sure.
I mean, there's a reason that the warmer places, the Californias, even like Austin, Miami, those places, you have a lot of people in shape.
For sure.
But Indy, I wouldn't say that's the culture.
No. I feel like I know all the pretty girls in Indy.
But you're talking about a city of millions of people.
Yeah, but it's a small town, though. It's like Nashville.
I don't know.
It really is.
But I don't know everybody.
Yeah, but...
I kind of do, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, of course you're not going to know everybody, but what I mean is that, you know, I dated a cheerleader on the team.
You did? I thought that was against the rules. Is that really not against the rules?
No, I broke the rules, and I got the rules changed. So every player from here on out
should be thinking. Oh, that's the way to go. It's not even the go. It's like... But doesn't every player go look at the cheerleaders and pick which
first,
one they want?
Absolutely. They're very attractive. And it's the
easiest...
And
they're close.
They're with us all the time. And... They go to all their appearances. But the thing is, the cheerleaders are coached and taught. They can't speak to us. They can't hang out with us.
Because they'll lose their job.
Yes. It's supposed to be very professional. I get that. But outside of like work, we're bound to cross paths. I mean, it really is a small town.
Inside of work, you're crossing paths. Yeah. Like, it's human.
Yeah, but they dog us at work. They literally turn their back on us and walk away. They don't. There's
because
no
they don't want to lose their job.
Yes.
Not because they think less of you. Actually, they probably like to meet a lot of you guys.
For sure, yeah. But they're watched like hawks.
And when, so when they're around us. So you just went to the guide and were like, I like her?
Well, I ended up, you know, being friends with some of them, and they just so happened four of them all lived together in a house.
I sound so hot. Talk slower.
It's like a movie.
Like yeah, a, yeah. Just it's a little sorority house, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to go
over for wine night.
Me, oh, me my, come on.
Me and my boy, yeah. Chandler. Dude,
no more boys. No more boys. Just you. Yeah. So you dated a cheerleader.
Yeah.
But how come, like, one of the other guys that, let's say, a skill position didn't get her? Because if I were her, I'd be like, let me get me a wide receiver or running back.
I got game, dude.
I don't know.
I got game.
I'd be like, I don't want the long snapper. I want the tight end.
She was digging number 45, dude.
Is it weird, though, that you can Google how much money you make?
For sure. You can find out anything on the internet.
You can't find how much money I make. You can look. It's all, unless it's inaccurate. But I know how much you make because they put it out there.
For sure. And everything's based on, I mean, a salary is a salary. I mean, everything is structured in our business.
She knows, though. Yeah. Isn't that weird that she knows? Aren't you worried? Because for me, it was forever. Part of the reason I didn't date anybody is because I just didn't trust anybody.
Yeah.
It's, I was like, hard. Why would somebody really want to date? I would be like, really? Mike and I sat here and we tried to find that the qualities about me that would make a girl want to date me. And we sat here forever and we were like, there really aren't that many. Other than I'm supportive. Like, I'm not no joy to be around. So why would anyone want to date me? So I'd be like, I'm just not dating anybody because I don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
They must have bad intentions was why I didn't date anybody.
For sure. And that's why I don't date a lot either.
Yeah, but...
Early on, dude. Trust me, I was at a candy store first, right?
I was
hanging out with the snags and I got caught up a little bit.
But you don't have any like kids on the side.
No, I don't.
Man, that'd be crazy.
Thank God I don't.
But what's that... Is it like a hierarchy in the locker room? Like, what? It's got to be. Maybe it's not. Like, if you're sitting next to a player that's making, you know, $7 million a year, like, does he get treated differently?
Yeah, for sure. Compared to the rookie undrafted free agent, for sure.
Compared to the long snapper, the punter, the kicker.
It depends, though. You have to put in. It's like putting your time in.
Are you know guys on like your own island because you're the special team guys?
No,
you're not. So you're part of the team.
Yeah, I'm in, dude. I'm in death row, dude. I'm with the DBs, the receivers.
What's death row?
That's just we call.
Okay, it's not like part of the locker room where you guys all.
It is. It's we're in one corner. Dude, we got the stereo going, man. We got rap sessions. We got it going on. I'm the only white guy over there in the corner with them.
Are you the only guy that likes country music?
No.
And you're on so you,
on my team?
Yeah. No. You're not?
There's a few that are down.
Mostly not, though.
No, it's weird. It all depends, though, because it's like Trent Cole, he's a black guy. He's from Cincinnati. He loves country. He wears cowboy boots in the locker room, you know?
I think a lot of it, too, is from just where you grew up.
For sure. A lot of guys from the South love country music.
Yeah, regardless of race, yeah. I think a lot of it. But again... For me, like I grew up in the South, but I love hip hop.
I love everything, dude. I listen to everything.
And that's what got me in trouble forever was saying that openly and being in a country station,
which is so stupid.
It's so don't even get me started.
Like I wish you would play some gangster rap on your show every once in a while.
Well, I'm not that gangster. Like Amy, like for me, I mean, probably my earliest was you know the Biggie Tupac stuff because I was like a young kid.
Yeah,
and that's when it's like Snoop. When man, we used to play Snoop's record and be like, "Don't show anybody because you get in trouble." Yeah. I didn't have any parents really, so nobody cared. But everybody else would hide it from their parents. Or, Tone Loc was out, but he was safe. He'd play on the radio.
Bone Thugs.
No, and Bone Thugs was okay, but it was the two guys from Miami, the guys from Miami that were so dirty.
Capone and Noriega.
Who?
I thought it was Capone and Noriega.
No. Oh,
man. Like you're talking like Cash Money record guys?
No, that was later. Cash Money was like Juvenile and Master P, and that's like, you know, New Orleans.
Yeah.
But I'm talking like, me so horny. Me so horny. Two Live Crew. Yeah.
Dude, that's
like,
way before crew. My that's time,
way
dude.
That was way dirty. And I just remember being so young and being like, what's happening right now? Like, why are people playing Two Live Crew? But yeah, they were... They were dirty, dirty.
My first album that I bought was Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Ever?
And my aunt gave me $20. I went to the record store and I bought Bone Thugs because Crossroads was the hit.
Dude, that was a jam. You know? Like, Crossroads and it's the first of the... Wake up. Oh, man.
And I played that record, the CD at home, and my mom was like, what is this? But, you know, I remember our school dances. I was grinding on girls to Genuine's Pony, to Keith Sweat, to Blackstreet.
Keith Sweat was the great dude. And he does a radio show for our company now, so I've had a chance to meet him a couple times.
Keith Sweat, dude, had the love jams, dude.
I mean, Twisted. Yeah. Girl, you got me twisted. I mean, I should pull up Keith. You know. Let me see here.
Nobody. I love your body.
There we go. I mean, God, Twisted and Nobody were just the two jams.
Nobody.
Dude,
I was in sixth grade dancing to that stuff. And then there was that super provocative song that came out. Romeo and Juliet. Hot sex on a platter just to get you wet.
What song is that?
You remember that one?
I was trying to find Keith's way here. Gosh.
Dude, this brings me back.
Me too. I turned off Matt Overton. I was trying to find Keith Sweat. So whatever you're singing, I was out of it. Yeah. Girl, you gotta make it be mine. I used to DJ dances to this too. When I was later, it'd be like slow dance time. Yeah. You could. All right, get on dance floor. Let's get twisted. You want me, girl.
Man. So did you? Oh,
yeah, don't even start me with nobody. God,
I was nervous to the song, man.
What do you mean? Why?
I went to go ask like the girl that I love in sixth grade,
and you only had 3.5 minutes. Yeah, like you had to hear it. Go get.
You had to go.
I wanna tease you. I wanna please you. I wanna show you, man.
Keith Sweat, man. He really only had these two songs, really.
Yeah, that's all
he needed. That's all he needed.
I want you to
like, that's it.
When you want me to stop, and who can love you like me?
Nobody.
Who can sex you like me?
Nobody.
Who can dream?
Man, this is jam,
my baby. Nobody, baby. He's playing out.
It just brings me back to Michael Jordan clone.
Oh, old, Michael Jordan cologne. That's
old,
crazy.
Old Navy pullovers.
Dang.
And Michael Jordan shoes, dude.
Michael Jordan cologne. You know what's funny about Michael Jordan shoes is that Mike and I were looking around the house, and I never could afford Jordans as a kid. Yeah. And so I bought a pair at a garage sale once. They were like really beat up, and I was in like seventh grade. And so I got made fun of a lot because I wore a pair of beat up old Jordans. I was like, I was so proud to have Jordans. And so when I finally started making money in my career, I think I started doing a morning show at like 21. So and I didn't make a lot of money then, but I had enough to go buy my first pair of Jordans. And so I went and bought a pair of Jordans, and I still kept the shoebox because they were that important to me. Because in my life, like that pair of Jordans was like, I'm finally working hard enough to afford something I wanted my whole life, which is just a pair of shoes. For sure. And it wasn't about the shoes, but it was the fact that I got to go buy a pair of Jordans, something I could never afford. And I kept the box, and I was like, Mike, we were looking for some like my social security card or something around the house, and I was like, dude, I have a Michael Jordan pair of box. I got a bunch of documents in. I keep that box. Dang, Michael Jordan cologne. Dude. You just take the posters out of the Wheaties box. You probably don't remember that though.
No, for sure.
You do remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were the
we
days.
Used to. So we had a one boys bathroom in sixth grade, and we'd go in there before dance, and our dances were at like 2 p.m. So they had to cover all the windows with like black.
That's
construction
funny.
Paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'd go into the bathroom, and we'd all line up our colognes, man. And everyone had Michael Jordan cologne. Calvin Klein's, dude, all that stuff. And we just literally just...
I was more of a brute guy myself.
Sprayed it on. Yeah. Sprayed it on my buddies. And then we'd literally just like spray 5 different clones on and walk out of that bathroom just feeling like, let's do this.
It sounds like the suicide drink of colognes. Yeah. Do you ever do suicides where you go and get a little bit of everything?
Oh, yeah.
And you go on field trips and you get, and it was terrible tasting, but you're like, I'm getting a suicide.
Did that with Slurpees. That, for sure.
That sounds like the cologne, the suicide cologne.
We did it. Oh, this is it.
And this will come on. Like, I didn't even need to dance. I would just hear the song and get a boner. It'd just be like,
Yeah,
it's like, oh, crap. Yeah. And so then I wouldn't go dance anybody. I have to turn backward and just like let it settle itself down.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a day. Who gets picked the music in the locker room during NFL games?
We don't listen to music.
Nothing. No, you don't play anything?
Only personal stuff with your...
in your ears.
Yeah.
So nothing over the top.
It's a coach rule, and I get it, man. It's like, but sometimes you kind of want to just, everyone want to get hyped together. And it's usually somebody with a little Bose speaker that comes out, and because we don't travel with a lot of stuff, so somebody's got a cool Bose thing, and it's just gangster rap.
I wonder, when you talk about traveling, you guys get, does the team own a jet or do they charter a jet?
We charter.
Like, so a basically, Delta flight or something. You rent a Delta plane.
Yeah.
But you fly yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody else is on there with you.
We have the same. Well, it's the entire organization, sponsors. And then we have the same flight crew every away game.
Is there any extra luxury to it, meaning with the seat wise, or is it just like you're getting on a Delta flight with the seats? Because I'm sure you have food and stuff. Yeah.
It depends on the travel. Like for us, we're pretty lucky. We come to Nashville, Houston, and Jacksonville. So that's not a long trip. But if we're doing like the West Coast stuff, or we went to London last year, it's usually a nicer jet.
That London trip, was that brutal to go play? Is it brutal to go over there and play?
Yeah, it's awful. Beautiful place. I want to go back. And it was cool playing in Wembley. I mean, that's big time.
But they don't really know football.
They don't, but they're loud and they love to drink and get drunk and just scream for no reason.
They do. I went to London and I didn't know what was going on. And they play, their football is soccer.
Yeah.
And they're so obnoxious about
it. Yeah. Like they had the flags going, like, Jacksonville's been over there a few times now, and Jacksonville was the home team that game, and they had the banners out just like they would for soccer games, and they had their own chants.
How would you feel if they said, hey Matt, we're moving our franchise to London and you gotta go play for the London Leprechauns?
I'm done.
Like, right? Because they talk about that every year, like, we're gonna get a franchise.
It'd be so hard. There's no way one team can be over there by themselves,
because you gotta travel 8 games back to the States.
Yeah.
Stay over for a couple of weeks at a time.
Yeah. And then you get living taxed a foreign at the country. Ass on it. You're not going to make... Yeah, then no one's going to want to come visit you.
No one's going to want to play for the team.
Yeah. It'd be awful.
What about Mexico City?
Worse. No God, way. Worse. El Chapo being your next-door neighbor.
Eddie talking to Mexico City. He's like, he used to go as a kid. He was like... First of all, Eddie grew up in a border town. He was like... And I would... I mean, even a bit ago... Mike, you grew up... And I used to walk across the border, and it wasn't a big deal. You need a passport or anything.
Yeah.
Walk across the border. What's the border or town in McAllen?
I think that's Juarez, maybe.
Maybe. Could be. Whatever. I would go walk across. I had a friend, and she was fluent and lived down there. So we'd go across. And it was like, but you need to get back across before nighttime.
For sure.
And they also don't want to mess with Americans that much at the border, because you start messing with Americans, and Americans start messing with them.
Yeah.
And so they're running their business across the lines. Again, there's a reason you don't hear about Mike, and you know more about this than I do, because you grew up where?
I grew up in Waxahachie, but I would go to Mexico all the time.
Because your parents were from Mexico.
Yeah, my parents were like deep, like 8 hours into Mexico. We would drive there every Christmas and summer, so I would see all that border stuff.
And at the borders...
The border's the worst part.
Eddie would say the borders were bad. But Mexico City was like a whole different planet.
Yeah, Mexico City's pretty nuts. It's, I mean, when we were there, we got like our stuff stolen. The cops are terrible. It's insane.
With the borders, and what I always told was, like, you don't want to get caught in any sort of mess anyway. Mm-hmm. But if you were white, again, they really wouldn't mess with you, because they wouldn't want the American government going, okay.
They would target more people like me, like Mexicans going back, and they know they have money. They know they're coming from the States. And they'd be like, okay, that's the person we need to go after.
So you guys would go down to Mexico and drive?
Yeah, we would drive 8 hours in.
When you hit, is there a road? Because some state to state, for example, like going Tennessee to Arkansas roads aren't that good.
Yeah.
At least in a lot of parts. So I drive across the state line, and it's like, mm-hmm. pretty good roads to not very good roads.
Oh, yeah.
Would it switch like that in the Mexico side?
Yeah, about maybe a couple hours in, you hit the roads that are just like you and mountains, and that's it. And you don't want to – we would try to plan it out to where we would drive in Mexico during the day, that we were not having to stop at night.
Really? Because yeah, so you were vulnerable at night.
Yeah, so we would leave Texas during at night, get to the border in the morning, and then drive there through the morning. That way we wouldn't have to stop because you don't want to stop.
So you wouldn't play for the Mexico City.
I don't know why they had a game down there this past year.
But they're going to have – because they're trying to expand the brand.
For sure. And they took the Raiders down there in the Houston Texans. I get that. But, like, the team couldn't enjoy themselves there. They were on 24/7 lockdown.
Again, though, it's not about the players and the team. It's just –
it's not. It really is. It's the NFL just wanting to make more money.
The NBA's got on lock. Everybody knows the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, the NBA, they're known everywhere.
For sure.
So, I mean, that's what the NFL wants. Problem is – listen, I don't think the NFL, as it is now, lasts. And it's not the same in 20 years. Because science is telling us how wrong it is to hit each other in the head over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
You know what? There's definitely some proven facts that the NFL will not discuss.
And they, as a business, they shouldn't discuss it.
For sure, yeah.
Like, I get it. As a business, you don't want the thing that's going to kill your business out there.
But let me bring this up, though. So, you know, they talk about, like, the, you know, parents, they're going to let your kids play Pop Warner football. And a lot of people say no. And those are the, but those are, like, the suburban families, white collar, you know, like, well-off families that are saying that.
Okay, because they want their kids to play soccer or
lacrosse or swimming.
And you're, before we move on, you're right, because I come from a very poor school. We had 2.5 sports.
Yeah.
We had football. We have basketball, and I played baseball, but we didn't have a home field.
Yeah.
So you're right. Like, we didn't have those other rich kid sports.
And those kids never make it to the NFL. The kids that make from the NFL are from Florida, that all they do is play basketball and track and football. And that's their way out. And those parents and those kids are going to be like, no, I'm for sure. I don't care that my kid may be have CTE in, at age 40 or 50.
I think they're still going to play. It's going to come down from even higher, though.
Think they're going to crack down from a state level?
They're going to have to eventually. Because, again, as time goes on and we start to see our heroes,
yeah,
because with television turning into social media, turning into what everything, we're starting to see the Jim McMahons. We're going to see the Brett Favres. We're going to see the people really.
Steve Young. Yeah.
We're going to see them start to just crumble in front of our own eyes.
For sure.
And that's what it takes to see change. It takes a prominent person. It takes something bad to a prominent person.
Yeah.
And then something real bad to happen to 7 prominent people. And then we're like, whoa! Because, again, we're a very selfish society. We like to see what entertains us. And that's it. We don't care about anything outside of our bubble.
Yeah.
And when the people that entertain us start to affect them, we're like, whoa, there's something wrong here if my hero is getting sick because of this.
So what about wrestling?
What WWE. About it? WWE, that's not, it's not the same thing. Sure, yeah, sure it is, but what's about hockey?
Those guys die at 50?
I'm not talking about the head hitting, though.
Okay.
Like with football, you're talking about hit. And listen, you're the NFL player. I'm just I played through 12th grade, and then that was the end of my football career.
Yeah.
But just, you know, reading all of the reports, and I'm really into science, and it just isn't good to have heads hit over and over again.
There's no question. Yeah, it's horrible.
And we're seeing all of these players now that we know and watched get this brain disease, the CTE. And it's kind of – the people are getting bigger and faster, and they're getting bigger and faster, faster than the technology is getting better.
For sure.
Because technology is getting better.
Yeah.
The helmets are getting better.
Yeah.
But it's not
– the rules will definitely change.
There will be no kickoff returns in the next 10 years. Two things there won't be: movie theaters and kickoff returns.
Dang. Well, there better be a long snapper. They better not get rid of my position.
They will, but you'll be out of the league by then. What's the use for it? There's not going to be a use for it because they're going to have to stop the extra things like a kick return
or a punt return.
Or a punt return where you can just go, we'll just start the ball here 40 yards down.
Yeah. Well,
you'll be out of the league. Don't worry about that. It's like radio for me. Like, it's changing so much.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love the fact that I can do this. Yeah. Like, we're the number 2 podcast in the whole like planet of comedy and top. And this is what radio is going to be, though.
For sure.
Like, it's going to be.
Everything evolves. I get that.
And the NFL is going to have to change.
Yeah, something will change. I agree with that. Yeah. There's no question.
Like, take the helmets off people. You want to see people not get hit in the head? Pull the helmets off.
Well, that's rugby.
Yeah. And but again, people are like, well, soccer balls hit them in the head. Okay. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop with the soccer balls hitting you in the head. That's not the same thing as 200-pound, 300-pound guys slamming each other as hard as possible.
So is soccer going to take over America?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Because it's international, because you're seeing international take over.
Yeah.
We're the United States is the United States, and we're bigger and better than everybody in our minds. And culturally, we set the standard, except for Asia. And even then, some. But I got to go to Japan, and I got to see that America didn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
They have their own set of celebrities and stars.
Oh, for
and,
sure.
And screw America. Yeah. Like, they got
Jackie
their own.
Jackie Chan, dude.
They have, well, we just stole him. But they have their own. But we're, right now, we're the cultural leaders. It's not going to be like that forever. It's becoming more of a world because we're so easy to connect with everybody.
I should have been a pro golfer. Dang it. I missed
that. I have friends that play. It's just, that's crazy. That's a different kind of athlete.
It's awesome.
It's a much more of a cerebral thing.
Oh, for sure.
Is that good hailing outside or is it just wind? They were letting schools out because of thunderstorms today.
Yeah, the kids down here are soft. I don't know why.
Thunderstorm. It didn't even thunderstorm. That's twice in 2 weeks. They've let people out for thunderstorms. And nothing happened. Again, if there was a tornado warning, when I was a kid, we went to school. And if it did hit, you just got to the friggin' desk, you were like, okay, let's just see what happens.
Well, in California, we had earthquakes, and we were
Did you get under the desk?
For sure, yeah.
Cover your head, like, take your hands and clasp them, and then put it over top of your head. Did you get
And we turned the, lights off for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, that added a shield or something.
Maybe lights it made everybody be quiet.
Desk. Yeah, maybe
I would assume, because it's like in your car. Whenever you have to, like, find something, you turn your volume down in your car. Like, really, that ain't helping anything. Yeah. But you're like, okay.
Helps you focus.
It helps me focus.
Yeah. Calm.
The mood. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The music helps the mood.
Okay.
So you, I guess you and I met a fish. When did we meet? I don't remember meeting.
It's been a couple of years, maybe. 3 years now? 2 years?
You know what it was?
It's through AC?
It was through AC. You're right. Because I've known AC for a long time through Andy Roddick, who's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
But AC and Andy are friends, and then AC and I became buds because, and I don't know AC, but when I went to the Super Bowl in Indy, I watched the Giants beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
And AC took us, and I still felt bad about this, and Anthony Collins is his name, right? All I know him is AC.
Oh, Anthony Calhoun.
Anthony Calhoun.
Yeah.
I don't even know, is he?
But everyone knows him as AC.
So I don't even know him as his real name.
Yeah.
People don't know me as Bobby Estill.
Yeah.
I bet you he wouldn't even know my real last name.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because whatever. AC was like, hey, I'm going to take you to dinner. And we go to this place where it has hot shrimp or something. What's it called?
St. Elmo's.
Okay, he's like, you got to go there. He's like, you know, it's where tourists come to, where Peyton Manning would go.
Yeah.
And there were like eight of us. And he paid for the whole meal. And I was like, oh, dude. Like, it's so nice of you, because he's like the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
And I'm a total douchebag for not knowing his real last name, but I remember eating those hot. Everybody does that in Indy, right? They go to that place and eat the hot shrimp.
It's the
tourist thing.
It's the cocktail sauce that
is that a tourist thing.
Yeah,
it's not local. People don't do that.
No, they still do. I think it's overrated for sure. There's probably three or four steakhouses better than St. Elmo's, but St. Elmo's is very. It's very, very good.
Why are you in Nashville? Like, what in the? Cause, okay, you
Why
didn't
not?
Grow. Okay,
it's a great. It's a really.
You didn't grow
great,
up here.
No.
You don't play ball here.
No.
There's really nothing here that brought you here except itself. So why, what about it brought you to here?
You know, I was looking for, I love Indy. I really do. I will always live in Indy. I don't ever foresee myself moving back to the West Coast. My family's slowly kind of trickling away. California's just a disaster. It's a nightmare. And I think my dad's probably going to be in either Nevada, Arizona, or Idaho within the next 10 years. And then my mom's in Seattle. And so just my friends are back there, really. I mean, all my family is on the West Coast. But ever since being in the Midwest, man, I just felt like this is where I was meant to be. And it started with Omaha. I was in Omaha for a couple years.
That's a really cool town.
I love Omaha.
Yeah, it's a really cool town.
Yeah.
I had an ex-girlfriend that was from there, and I would go there.
Yeah.
And they have the College World Series.
Oh, it's so much fun.
And the people
are
nice. Yeah, it's a good one.
I played in a minor league football team out there before coming to Indy, and I played at the old Rosenblatt Stadium.
Like, you played arena ball?
No, we played. It was the UFL that started, and it was one of the minor league teams for the NFL, and it lasted about 5 years. But I was fortunate enough to play in Omaha for 2 years. And so I just fell in love with that town.
Do you have to have a second job when you played in the UFL?
No, we made really good money.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I would play in Omaha for about 3 months, head home, or guys would sign on with NFL teams after the season. So
you do that. How do you go from the UFL to the NFL? You just go try out?
Yeah, I was in Arizona training at the time, and I went to a specials camp that was just only for long snappers, punters, and kickers, and I was trying out there, and I qualified for it, and then the Colts assistant coach was there scouting, and that's kind
of... Is there that much of a difference in long snappers?
Yeah, there's definitely... The biggest difference, really, from college to the pros is the blocking ability. They don't block in college, and we have to block at the NFL.
Because people can come right at you.
Yeah. And you're blocking, 300-pound guys sometimes, So that was the hardest transition for me.
Like, how do you...
And just the mental side of it, though, too, the pressure. I went to a small college where I played in front of, maybe 3,000 people a game. And then you go to the NFL where you're playing in front of 70,000 and you're on national TV every week.
Walk me through this, though, because you're down and you have to snap the ball between your legs to a punter or kicker. Now, your body goes backward.
Yeah.
Your arms, your head go backward in the same direction as someone's hitting you.
Yeah.
So all of this force is going backward toward the punter or kicker.
Yeah.
As it's hitting you, you have to stop what they're doing and push them. It seems like a very vulnerable position.
It is. And they've changed the rules to help protect the long snappers. And so I'm lucky that I came in with the new rules. The old rules used to be anybody can line up, head over you.
And it hits you immediately.
Just blow you up. And they changed that because guys are getting hurt. But I have guys on my right and left side of me that help me. They protect me as well.
Is that also a kind of unwritten rule that you don't just pound the long snapper now?
No, they do. Some guys do.
They do? Yeah. Well, but that doesn't mean it's not is there a respect for give them a half second because you can really hurt them? Or is it just...
No, I just think the positions got so much better that they can't really do that anymore just because guys are so much faster.
They stop people from jumping over just now.
Yeah.
You can't jump over the line anymore. How do you feel about that?
It happened to me twice. And I thought it was a great play.
Where they jumped over the top of you and then blocked the kick.
Yeah. But then I've also flipped guys who have tried to jump over me.
That's got to feel good, right?
Oh, I love it, dude. Like J.J. Watt or one of those guys doing it. Oh, I love it.
Has he tried to jump you?
Yeah.
And you flipped him?
No. Because he's super athletic and, of course, he makes me look stupid. But I try. But he doesn't block the kick, which is the ultimate goal, right?
What's the deal with that dude, J.J. Watt? I always feel like his teammates probably hate him.
I don't know, man. He's...
Do you know him at all?
I've met him a couple times, and the first encounter I had with J.J. Watt was hilarious. Before the game, the specialists all kind of hang out. We all know each other. It's a little fraternity we have, right?
Specialist meaning if you're on special teams, for those that aren't
kicker,
sports.
Punter, and snapper.
Okay, go
just
ahead.
Us three. So we always meet the other team's snapper, punter, and kicker because we usually know each other, And so we mix and mingle, pregame on usually around the 50-yard line, and we're playing Houston this game. This is before J.J. Watt was the J.J. Watt, and we're in the huddle. We're just bullshitting, and all of a sudden, this enormous human literally walks in the middle of our ring, our circle, spits on the ground, and then does a bowl
with his leg,
and then he pounds his chest, and then he runs and starts his warm up, and we all looked at the other guys. Who the hell is that guy? No, that's J.J. Watt.
So he marked his territory.
Yeah.
Were you on his field?
Yeah.
Were you on the logo?
Yeah.
So you can't be on the logo. You know better than that.
Yeah, but nobody does that, what JJ did.
Oh, no, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
But still, you're putting yourself in a bad spot if you're standing on the other team's logo.
This is pre-game, though.
Oh, it's not even pre-game.
We're in sweats and shorts at this point.
Oh, really?
We're not even in uniform.
All right.
But JJ Watt does let me go out an hour early, or 2 hours early, run around, sweat.
That's why I think people get annoyed with him. He's awesome.
For sure.
Crazy athlete.
Yeah.
To watch a dude that big jump that high, just watching his workouts. I'll watch his workouts and be holy crap, this dude's amazing. And
I love J.J. Watt.
I don't know him, but I don't know him at all. Although my friend is the head of all marketing of the Texans, and she likes him.
No, I haven't heard anything bad about him. I mean,
I'm just imagining he's a douchebag.
He's a huge meathead, which I love. You know?
That'd be the reason why, because I always got beat up by the meatheads. Yeah. So I'm like, I probably hate that. We're getting down to the deep stuff. Yeah, it's probably because I'm
just... Let's peel back the layers a little bit.
I'm just jealous. Yeah. It's probably... Like, I'm just feeling very jealous right now, J.J. Watt. And I... But and they also put him in a lot of places. Like, they want him to be the superstar, so they put him as... For sure. They'll throw him the ball tight end.
Yeah.
You know, they'll...
He's a monster, dude. He... I mean, dude, he's been three-time defensive MVP, man. It's incredible.
Body's already breaking down, though.
Yeah, man. His back is not good, I hear.
What about Tony Romo?
Good for him. I'm happy for him.
You ever play against him?
Yeah. Once.
Did you...
They destroyed us.
But you weren't on the... You were never on the... I'm trying to think. You were never on the field with him. He was. Ever.
No. Just in passing, you know, like... Pre-game, running in the tunnel at halftime.
You ever go say hi to anybody after a game just so you can say you said hi to them?
For
like,
sure.
Like when you're crossing up. Like
I did a Tim Tebow.
You did?
I had to.
So
I got, dude, I got
which
so much
version of Tebow?
That.
Denver or the Jets or
the
what?
The Jets, when he was on his decline.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, his decline. Someone
come
said,
on, man. I loved him when he was in Denver.
No, no. I'm going to say the opposite about Tebow as I would about J.J. Watt. I don't know either one of them. I, from what I have, no one heard. People love Tim Tebow, like as a person, like as a human.
Ray loves him.
Ray loves him because he took a picture with him. But like, I'll talk to people in media, and they're like, "He's nicer in person than he is on TV." Yeah.
He's incredible. I don't know how he does it.
So you go and you go say hi. You go fangirl out on Tim Tebow,
for sure. Right?
How does that work?
So first starts out. So Tim is the kind of guy that's like pregame guy. He's out there with like the bands and doing like a. Work like CrossFit workout, and he's throwing and all that kind of stuff out there. And McAfee, we're warming up in punts, and he literally just sails a bomb 60 yards, and this is going straight to Tim Tebow's head. He would be dead pregame, and it literally goes right over his shoulder and hits right behind him. And Tim looks around like, "What the hell just happened?" And Pat was like, "Oh my god, I just almost killed Jesus!"
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, "Dude, have some respect," because I'm like. All about Tim Tebow. I'm like, because everyone gives him crap.
Me too, and that's why I rooted for him.
Yeah, I love him, man. And so after the game, we did our prayer circle. And, dude, I had to be next to Tim, dude.
So you put your arm on him?
Dude, I had to get on knee and be next to Tim, yeah. Dude. Because Tim led the prayer, man.
That's funny.
Yeah, and there was a picture, of course, taken. And, of course, I had to, like, dude, it's, like, one of my favorite pictures.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So Tebow, anybody else that you purposely said, "Hey, good game," to like you tried to find him at the end of the game?
Gronk, for sure.
Big guy,
enormous.
Like I see numbers on paper, but until you meet a human, you really don't know.
Enormous. He's 6'6", 270.
He seems like he's 11.
He is, but he's just a man child.
But again, he seems like he's 11 years old. Like, he acts like...
For sure. The whole family does.
And that's not even a bad thing. Like, he just is a kid all the time.
Yeah. His brother Chris was on the Colts when I first got there.
Yeah. How was he?
Hilarious.
Yeah.
We played golf together all the time, and he played with SpongeBob SquarePants balls. You know, and if he would shank one into the forest, he would have to go find it. He's like, "Dude, I can't lose SpongeBob."
That's funny.
And he would go dig in the woods for his ball, and he'd find it.
Was there any jealousy between the Gronkowski brothers?
I have no idea. Obviously, you know, Gronk, the Gronkowskis are big because of, you know, the main Gronk. You know, there's three brothers. There might be four.
There's a new one just coming up, too.
Is there? He's out of college. So there's four.
Yeah.
And so I know Chris. Obviously, Rob's the more popular one, and then there's the oldest one. They all play football. They're all
both of, Rob and his brother played for the Patriots at the same time for a while. Last year, or the before they ended up cutting the other one. But
yeah, and JJ Watt's younger brother's in the league now too.
Just now, and they're moving him around too, trying to figure out where to put him.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a first rounder.
Like in workouts, they're putting him. You know, putting him like three or four places.
It's incredible. Great genes.
You in high school, were you rated? Did you have a star?
No.
So you weren't recruited hard, really? Mm-hmm. It's just
no scholarship offers. I had to go to junior college first.
It's wild that you're now in the NFL. Yeah. I mean, it's a testament to it's not always about where you start. It's always about that middle and how you end up finishing it.
Yeah, it's just hanging in work there. Ethic, man. It really is. I mean, it's an attitude. There was times where I didn't believe in myself, but I always had somebody there. Whether it's family members or other friends or teammates that continue to encourage me.
Tell me about long snapping if you screw up, because you only have a certain amount of shots a game. Like, how many snaps a game do you probably get?
12 to 15.
Okay, let's say you get 15 shots.
Yeah.
If you botch one of those 15,
ruins your whole week. You feel like a piece of crap.
Your whole week.
Oh, the whole year. I remember poor snaps from 3 or 4 years ago.
Like over the head of the punter?
No, I haven't done that.
Not you can,
that's, wherever that is.
Yeah, I would knock on this table. Yeah, there you go. So you haven't oversnapped a punter, but you've bad snapped a field goal.
No.
Then what have you bad snapped?
Not when the punter has to move or I put on the ground on the punt, it's just not up to our standard. So it may be missed by just watching TV. You may not notice it or it may not be a big deal, but to us, it's a big deal.
You ever made a really cool tackle?
Yeah.
Where you're like, I need to go find a picture of that. Like, for sure there are cameras everywhere. I got to go find a picture of that tackle. Yeah.
Danny Amendola against the Patriots. I always get a tackle against the Patriots. It's pretty awesome.
So he broke coverage then. If you're getting to them, they've broken coverage, and you and the punter are the last two people.
No.
You're getting down the field.
Yeah.
You're telling me you are getting down the field.
I got proof.
Really?
Yeah, I'll prove it. I'll bring it in to the show or something. I run down the field pretty fast. I'm pretty quick for a long snapper.
So you get down the field, and you're the first one there?
Second. He missed the first. The first guy missed, and I cleaned him up.
Amendola is a Texas Tech guy, right?
I believe so.
Right about that?
Yeah.
And you go find the picture immediately?
Julian Edelman. I have one tackling Edelman.
Yeah.
He was a
That's cool, too.
He was at the ACMs.
Yeah, I saw his... I didn't see him. I saw his head on
great
a
hair,
cardboard.
Great beard.
Yeah, those guys are all good looking. It's like they're good looking and super athletic, and it sucks they can have it all.
Yeah. Tom Brady, Gronk, Amendola, Julian Edelman...
And Gronk isn't that good looking, but he's huge and he's really freaking good. I don't look at him and get jealous because he's got it all. He's big, there are a lot of big guys. There are a lot of, you still have to have a work ethic like crazy to be elite.
And all those guys do.
And you can be as big as you want. Yeah. I've seen some monster guys who are just big puddings.
Yeah.
And
Gronk puts in work.
Yeah, man.
He does his thing outside of work, but when he's at work, he's a grinder.
I can say irritating that quarterbacks are mostly good looking guys.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. It's
probably weird. It's got to be a high school, junior high thing.
Is that the picture?
That's Amendola. Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, man.
Mike D brought up the picture.
Respect, dude.
Looks like who's 83 over there? Is that a gunner?
Dwayne Allen. He's now a Patriot. They just traded him to the Patriots.
This rivalry thing in the NFL, is it real or no?
Yes, for some teams.
Why, though? Because tomorrow you could be on the other team. It's not like hometown teams where you represent.
Yeah, but I think it's like division rivals. Like, they say the Patriots for us are a rival, and they were when Peyton was the
I would see Peyton and Brady. Yeah, that would be cool because they won it. No.
We've lost by 40 points every time we play.
Well, that, though, what was a rivalry because of those two players. It's like the best two quarterbacks in the NFL are playing right now.
Yeah. Or you have, traditionally Kansas City and the Raiders are always a big rival because, I don't know why, but...
Nobody cares.
Yeah. It's still...
The Jets and the Giants, because of proximity.
Yeah. And the Jets and the Patriots and the Bills and stuff.
Same divisional.
Yeah.
But still, I don't think players really
When I grew up, it was 49ers and Cowboys.
That was because they were the winning franchises.
Yeah.
They were the two teams from the NFC that were winning
all the time
and going to
the
Super Bowl.
Elite players.
And they would play in the NFC championship game every year.
Yeah.
And it was Montana or Young and Jerry Rice versus Aikman with Emmitt Smith and, Michael Irvin. And
But it's not like Alabama versus Ole Miss or whatever the big Auburn or...
It's not Auburn, Alabama, but again, because a lot of the kids, and it's changing a bit, but a lot of the kids are from the general area of the school.
For sure.
In college.
Yeah.
Not all, because you'll see some Florida kids, go play at Oregon.
Yeah.
But in college, that's why I think the crowds are a little crazier, because these are home. This is home.
Oh, for sure.
And these kids are there are a lot of home kids.
And there's a lot of tradition in those families. A lot of those kids go to school there because their grandparents went there, dad played there, whatever. And then, I guess there's not really it's the NFL pumping the rival. It's not really us being like.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just think if tomorrow
I don't hate playing against anybody. Yeah, it's like we get after it with Houston quite a bit. That's like our division rival
because you're competing for a playoff spot against.
Yeah. But it's not like circle that one on the calendar because we're playing the Houston Texans.
It's got to be pretty cool, though, like, circle on the calendar because you're playing somebody awesome, though. Like, for sure. Like, yeah, a player. Like,
and it's a big-time game.
Like, if or on TV.
Yeah.
But if it's like you're going to play the Patriots and you actually get to play against Tom Brady, that's got to be cool because sure. How many times in your life do you get to play against somebody who has changed sports culture?
Yeah, and playing in Foxborough is, like, awesome.
Who are the coolest players that you've seen with your own eyeballs on the field?
Ray Lewis, dude. I played against Ray Lewis in his last NFL game.
So in Baltimore?
In Baltimore, yeah. It was in the playoffs.
And is he just like, and I can tell you my Ray Lewis story in a minute, but is he just loud and?
Yeah, he's an animal. Yeah, and he's really good at pumping everybody up.
I always, if I like someone and spend a little time with them, and I don't get close to a lot of people, but if I do get close to someone and they tell me that someone's a good person, I believe them. Yeah. And so I'm friends with Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
And we've been friends for a couple years now, and he loves Ray.
Yeah.
And it's just like, can't say enough good things about him. So just because of that, I'm like, Ray Lewis has got to be like a... Listen, we all have our faults.
For sure.
We're all douchebags. Yeah, and but he's just like, you know what? That dude is like, what you see is really what you get.
Yeah.
Like, as far as he likes to help people. Like, he likes to do good.
For sure. And seeing him come out, his introduction at the last game in Baltimore, I mean... They literally had a piece of grass that they would bring out for him to pick up and throw.
Yeah.
Because it was a turf field, right?
Sure.
And so literally everyone on the sideline, that was the big headline of the week, Ray Lewis's last home game. And everyone on our sideline, every coach, executive, owner, dude, we did not want to miss the Ray Lewis introduction.
For those that aren't huge sports fans, if you listen to this, imagine a pro wrestler coming out. And as he's getting to the ring, like doing this big arm gesture where he's like, boom, I'm here. That's flames. What Ray Lewis would do when he would come out.
For sure. And it was a little dance and it was flames and it's like just intense.
So you saw Ray Lewis and that was cool. Who else would you see in person and go, maybe you would tell your kids when you have them, I got to play against this person.
I mean, Peyton for sure. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
Peyton at Denver?
Yeah. And we beat him. I think we're 3-2 against Denver. Beat him in the playoffs was awesome, though.
Yeah.
And Denver. That was huge for us.
And that was a big one for Luck, because that was Luck and Manning.
Yeah. And then we went and got destroyed by New England next week.
Is it, whenever you go to the playoffs, different, is it flip a switch for everybody?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It heats up big time. It's because the season's so long that the entire month of December, if you're not fighting for the playoffs and you kind of already have that already locked in, that you can afford to lose a one or two games, you're fine.
Yeah.
It's different because guys rest. They need the rest. But once January 2nd hits or whatever the first week of playoff, it's like everyone's recharged, man. And this is what you play for. And it sucks to lose because you have to start all over again.
How good is Andrew Luck?
Really good.
Because I know how good they tell me he is, and I know how good I'm a sports fan. I see, these are your personnel people, but it doesn't look to me like he has the weapons to be elite because you got to have things around you, and you don't have to comment on that at all. But you know, coming out of college, and he, you know, Andrew Luck played at Stanford and was there was arguments that RG3 was as good as him. Only a few people would say that, but Luck was like that generational quarterback, and that's why they let Peyton Manning go.
Yeah.
That's a big deal in Indy
for sure
for them to come out and go okay, or say to go Peyton. Together, they came out and they had a press conference. That doesn't happen. Andrew Luck, respected, liked. Is he quiet? Talk. I mean, what's his personality?
Just different, man. He's very to himself. He loves what he does. He was made to be a franchise quarterback, and they're just guys that like have it. He has it.
He a studier.
Yeah, I mean, he's in there, first guy in, last guy out, kind of thing. You know, he has no social media. You don't really know what he does. He's got the flip phone thing. That thing's a legitimate flip phone from 10 years ago.
Is that a thing, though, now? Or is that just really him still?
That's really him.
Yeah.
I mean, he hates photos. He just, like, the only thing he does have is Facebook. That's because he went to Stanford. That's like there's...
Right.
He's supporting each other kind of thing. I don't know. He probably has stock in it or something.
What's the goal for you?
For me, man, I want to win a Super Bowl and be respect. I think respect from your peers is pretty awesome.
You did make the Pro Bowl.
I did, yeah.
How do you make the Pro Bowl as a long snapper?
See,
like, what's the difference?
It's voted on by coaches, so you get that respect. And, you know, my coach had a say for me on that. And so it's different. I didn't think I deserved to be in the Pro Bowl that year.
Is there somebody that is like, that's the best long snapper in the league?
It kind of changes from year to year, but there's a core, you know, 5 to 6 guys that are just always really, really good out of 32. You know, and I would love to be. I don't think I'm quite there yet in that upper, in my opinion, up in that top three. I want to be respected as the best, you know. And I hate it when they say, "Oh, when you hear the name of the long snapper, that must be a bad thing." You know, you want to be the guy under the radar. You don't want your name in the headlines, and you don't want to. You know, fans that know your name, like, nah, screw that. I want to be known for being really good at what I do and making tackles. And
that's how you'd be known then.
Being a beast.
Making tackles and
for sure.
Forcing fumbles.
But just being like, yeah, but being a great teammate and like being respected, because when I came in first, like, guys would haggle me all the time. Like, oh, what do you do at practice? You don't do shit. You know, you don't.
Do you do at practice? You don't do crap, do you?
Yeah, no, we really do. We do, man. We work hard, man. Yeah. We're not with the team all the time. We're doing our own thing all the time with our own coach, doing individual stuff. But it's one of those things, like, no one wants our job on Sunday, but they want our job, you know, Monday through Saturday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just think it's awesome being with Vinatieri, right? Because everyone in the NFL respects him.
Because he's
every fan respects him.
You're not a sports fan. Adam Vinatieri is known, I would say, mostly for kicking the field goal in the snow. But yeah. He's the clutch kicker in the league right now. Like, he's the clutch kicker.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's the best to ever do it. And guys swap jerseys with him.
Oh, they
after
do.
After games. Yeah, like quarterbacks, receivers, like really? Big time names.
So they must do that then, not in the middle of the field. Occasionally you'll see that. But
yeah, you do it on
in
the side,
soccer, kind of. They do that a lot. They'll go out and switch jerseys.
Yeah.
So you guys are jersey switching, like, outside of games?
Yeah, but you have to be, like, a baller to switch your jersey.
You ever ask him for an autograph?
Who?
Any player?
No. It was weird at the Pro Bowl, because I had my family. Dude, I treated the Pro Bowl like it was my time, right? I brought my family, best friends out there, and it rightfully so. Like, this was an awesome opportunity, huge achievement.
Hawaii or Florida?
In Hawaii.
Okay.
And I'm like, dude, from Western Washington, undrafted cut. Dude, I had to bring everybody that was there for me. This is it, you know? And we partied hard the entire week. And it is a party. You kind of forget why you're there. And obviously, you're at an exclusive resort. You're on the beach all day. And then I have my grandmother. And God bless her soul, man. She's like the super fan. She was wearing my jersey probably a little too much in the lobby, running around introducing herself to all the families, right? And she's the one that asked for autographs. Even my mom does too. And they had my mom and her best friend were there, and they had rooms next to Howie Long.
And Howie Long, by the way, Raiders defensive great.
Yes.
Hall of Famer.
Yes. And we're from the Bay Area, so everyone loves Howie Long.
And on TV now, two people would know him. Yeah.
Good looking family, and his son was in the Pro Bowl. And Kyle. And so, of course, they're fangirling the whole week there. You know, like, whenever they hear the door open next door, they run out there to see who's there. And, you know, so by the end of the week, they bugged me so much that I had to introduce them, get the autograph.
To Howie?
Get the photo. Yeah.
Is he nice about it?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool, but I hate asking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I don't like asking artists. I don't have artists sign things.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like, man, I want them to come around me and just feel like they're normal people.
For sure. Yeah.
And so, unless it's for a charity, I don't get things signed.
Yeah.
I used to.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, I don't want them to feel like I'm like trying to get something from them.
For sure.
So.
And I hate asking, because obviously I get asked for Andrew Luck stuff all the time.
Oh,
you know?
A little bit the same. Like, hey, can you get me a something?
Yeah.
And I'm always like, I don't. And some of these people, even with you, some of these are like buds of mine.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go to your buddy and be like,
for sure,
hey, Paisley, let me get, just give me a little sign. Yeah. Just sign this for me real quick right here. It's a weird slow. I mean, listen, don't get us wrong. It's awesome.
Yeah.
We're in a very blessed place.
No doubt about it. So what I do now to get autographs is I'll put a ball out on the table. A lot of guys do this now. So we'll have a table in the locker room, and it simply just says, hey, you know, sign it. This is for what it's for, who it's for. So it'll be like, Matt Overton, this is for a charity. And guys are cool, and everyone will sign it. But going up, be like, hey, man, do you mind my cousin from, you know, Arkansas, he really wants your autograph, man. Like, I hate that. It's awful.
That's funny.
Even though he'll do it, he wouldn't care. It's just an awkward situation.
You're right. They wouldn't care is the thing, but it just... I don't know one artist that would be like, I care. They would all be like, I don't care. I'll sign whatever you want.
There are some guys that I've seen, though, that do care.
Now, I won't ask you who, because I don't put you in a bad place, but I'm trying to think of all... There's one artist in particular who has a terrible reputation of being really horrible to their fans.
Yeah.
Like, really, really horrible. Like, you go up to them. I don't get it. I don't either.
I think it's just... I just feel like it's a personality issue or something. Or they really just think they're that much better than somebody. I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
You know?
And you know what? Here's my rule, too, about when artists come in. You have a bad interview, and you and I don't get along the first time. It could have been me. It could have been that you were having a bad day. It doesn't mean that, overall, that there's something broken between us.
Yeah.
Because I did not like Jason Aldean the first time I met him. I was like, this dude and I will never get along. We will never be even buddies at all.
Yeah.
Completely wrong.
Yeah.
Aldean and I have done actually played shows together. I mean, obviously I opened for him. He's done any charity. We've done a lot of – now, would we go and just hang out every weekend?
Yeah.
No, but that crazy disconnect that was there at first because we're pretty different people.
Yeah.
Just
but
I was
respect is
I was completely wrong about him.
Yeah.
Brantley,
sweet
guy.
Yeah,
you look at him and you would go, "Ain't no way."
I've met him; he's great.
Great.
Yeah.
But it's the people you don't expect sometimes that are just like total douchebags.
For sure.
And you're like, why?
Yeah.
But more than once. Yeah. If it's once, it's the Christina Aguilera rule. She's awful. She's always been awful. Every time I met her, she's been terrible.
Yeah.
Just so if you're Christina Aguilera, you're just bad. If you're not Christina Aguilera yet and you've had a couple bad experiences, it just could be me. Could be me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It could be you. It could be somebody had a bad day.
Yeah.
My weirdest thing is sometimes people will say, because I don't have a lot to say when I'm not saying things.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the guy that's going to go somewhere and just be like, look at me.
Yeah.
I got amazing stories to tell. I need attention. I'm going to stay home, first of all. And then when I do go, I'm a wallflower and I just don't feel comfortable in my own skin around people.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. What was my point with this, Mike? Where was I going? I had a good story. I don't remember what it was, though. Do you remember?
I don't know.
I don't either. Crap. I was getting I'm getting blown up for some reason. Whatever. My point is, go America. You rule. Man, I feel like I had something good to say, too. I'm getting older, man. I forget trains. I walk to the kitchen sometimes. And I'm like, why am I even here?
I do the same thing, and I'm like, dude, CTE.
No, because I have my head hit, and I'm the same way. But I'll walk down. And I'll be in the living room. I don't even walk in my living room. Like, I don't watch TV. I never go in my living room. I stay in my bedroom.
Yeah.
You go to the living room. I'm like, no, I'm supposed to come here for something.
I do it quite a bit.
Why am I here? Then I go upstairs, lay down, go to bed, wake up at like 12:30, go, oh, that's what it was. And then I go back down and get it.
Dude, I've done the thing.
Oh, I know what my point was. Got my point.
Go ahead.
Ooh, got
what do you got?
I'll go somewhere. I don't have a lot. I'm not outgoing.
Yeah.
And someone to go, man, Bobby was a total douche.
Yeah.
He didn't talk to anybody. He is such a dick. And I don't like that. And I bet that's what keeps me from going out because it's just, I don't want to bother people.
Yeah.
But people have this perception of me in the same way I probably unfairly judge people on the first or second experience too. So that's why I try not to do that. Now, when you become Christina Aguilera and we've had a bunch, then it's a whole different thing.
So is it are you saying that you're like shy? A little bit shy, or
I feel like I bother people. Really? I don't want to get into people's space. Yeah. I don't want to bother them. I don't feel like anybody wants to have anything.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. I don't feel like anybody really cares or wants. They have their own lives and their own conversations. I have nothing to add. But doing that, and if people are like, "Oh, that's Bobby from the radio. He has a lot to say. Sometimes he's funny. Sometimes," but I do none of that out in public. They're like, "Oh, he just must be a huge douchebag in real life."
Yeah.
And part of that is true, but I mean, it's mostly just because I don't. But I try not to judge people the same way on that. And with Aldean and with Brantley, I totally was like, oh, we'll never get along. And I learned from that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I try not to judge people off that first hit now.
It's, and it, the thing that I struggle with, too, is, like, it's so easy to judge that person right off. The first, it, oh, it's so...
It's human nature, though. Sure, it's what we do.
You know? And so hopefully you get the second opportunity to get to know that person, because...
And sometimes a third or a fourth.
Yeah.
And it's taken me that long with some people. And I'm sure with me, it's been the same way. I'm not... Listen, I'm no saint. And I... When I go to work, like, it's... What they were calling it, they call it Bobby Beast mode, because I got nothing but focus. Like, we're here to do the show.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, I need this clip. I got to go here, you here. I don't go to the bathroom. It's just, it is what it is. I'm no pleasure to be around when I go to work.
Yeah.
I take that back. When we're in the middle of segments, I'm fun.
Yeah.
Because we got to be fun then. Would you agree, Mike?
Agree.
Commercials, I ain't talking to nobody.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. Here's what's coming up. What clock do we got to hit here? Ray, I need this audio. Morgan, I need... You're in that little glass room. I'm just constantly barking orders at people.
Yeah, man. They're working in there.
I'm like, hey, I got 40 seconds. Give me this. Ray, I need this song. Ray, I need it. And I know they're all like going, God, Bobby, shut up. But whatever. You know, it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, they call you horrible names.
That's okay. And they should. And they for sure should. Yeah. Because I am a horrible person during the show. I'm like, Mike D, why'd you put that caller through? That was a terrible caller. They had nothing to say. Then it goes back.
Can somebody answer the phones? And Mike's been answering the phones for like 20 minutes.
I look at all the phones ringing. I'm like, well, somebody answer the phones. But you know what? It never lasts longer than like 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it can't. It's the interception rule.
Yeah, you got to move on.
You got to move on.
You got to forget.
And so, like today, for example, Morgan and I, who now runs the show, and it's weird for Morgan because she's 24.
Yeah.
It's weird for her because she's the youngest on the show.
Yeah.
And other than me, she's got the highest spot on the show as far as making decisions. Amy is the second ranker. Let's not get it twisted. Like, Amy is the star.
For sure.
Then you have Lunchbox. And then everybody else kind of falls in place.
Yeah.
But, like, the hierarchy of the show.
Yeah.
The quarterback to the running back. Yeah. So it's me because I'm planning and running. And then there's Amy, who's a very close second. And there's Lunchbox, who's a very close third. But Morgan is telling us all what to do. And I need someone to do that. And I've put her in that position. Yeah. Like, tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And so today she had an issue with me. What, did you see it? Were you there for it?
What was it? I don't know.
I'm not,
she was in a good mood today when I was there.
Mike, you were there.
Yeah, I saw it.
And we had the talk after because she got emotional at me in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And she's I think Morgan's really strong. She's going to be fantastic. She's already really good. And so it was like, let's just go talk about it in the office. So we're in the office. And I was like, hey, listen. No emotion with leadership. Your emotion... You know, bring it in here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it in here. Because she got mad at me for something I did.
Yeah.
And she was right.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, she was right.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? You're right. But you're also judged by how you're seen, even if you're not perceived the right way. People are going to judge you, even if they're what they see is how they feel. And they don't know what they're seeing. People don't know what they're seeing. I don't know what I was seeing with Aldean.
Yeah.
I was just like, nah. This dude, he has nothing to say. He didn't want to talk to me. I don't like him. You know what? Aldean's a shy guy.
Is it? Yeah.
He's a really shy guy who I was like, man, he's actually about third time. I was like, man, he's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
So, Mike, you see Morgan and I get into it a little bit?
Yeah, I did.
Did you guys hug and make up or what? You guys good?
I don't hold beefs with my people.
Yeah, it's strictly non-personal.
We went into the office.
Yeah, and hashed it out.
And it's not even non-personal. Like, these are my people.
Yeah.
These are the closest. And we're together for 5-6 hours a day, every day at arm's distance.
Yeah.
You're going to have... Amy yells at me. We go into the mob sometimes. Amy just screams at me.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before, like on the show. She gets so upset at me because I don't have I'm not a human when it's work time.
Yeah.
It's work time.
Yeah.
All right. Got a show due.
Yeah.
Focus up. Let's go. After the show, best friends. Before the show, wonderful friends. Yeah. But when it's Beast Mode Bobby, like I got... With me, I have salaries that I have to make sure people get paid and eat.
Yeah, for sure.
So I feel like the pressure's on me to make sure we have a great show because everybody else the people are depending on me.
Yeah.
Thank you for this therapy session.
And they're lucky to have a leader like you.
But these are the people that in my life that I would have it any other way.
Yeah.
I got to handpick every single person on my show because we had no money.
Yeah.
We were not supposed to be a show. So Lunchbox is a delivery driver at Jason's Deli.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, come work. And we've talked this on the Bobbycast before. It's like, he made no money. And I'm like, just work. I promise you, I'll take care of you. If you just hang out and work through it, we'll get there. We'll get there. It's like you going to JUCO. It's like playing in the UFL.
Yeah.
Like, put in the time and put in the work and just trust the good things are going to happen because most of the time, they do.
They do.
If you work hard and you work long enough, most of the time, they do. You want to play the odds? Work hard and work long.
Yeah. I always tell young kids, like, hard work will always pay off. It may not be what you initially want it to be, But dude, doors will open and great things will happen.
And people will trust you, and you don't always have to be the best.
Yeah.
Just be someone that...
Yeah. Be accountable, man. Accountability is so hard to find. And knowing that you can count on and depend on that person no matter what.
I mean, except for Eddie. I send him home sometimes. Eddie comes in late. I'm like, dude, you got... Have you ever been there on a home sending day?
No, I haven't. Is it awesome?
I don't like it.
You're publicly shaming him?
No, I've done it before. I wrote about
it. No, I know. It's a public shame thing.
No, I wouldn't, but I don't do it for the public shaming, but our shows, our lives are on the air.
Yeah.
So
it's public shaming.
No. Yeah. It's life. We live our lives on the air.
Yeah.
When Eddie comes in late, and I've sent Lunchbox home. Mm-hmm. I've sent Amy home.
Yeah.
I mean, I've sent Amy's the all-star. I've sent her home.
Yeah.
Like, Amy, I can't have you, the person everyone loves and looks at as a leader.
Yeah.
And not treat you the same as everybody else. So
she walked in late and you kicked her out?
She called me and I was like, don't even come in.
Oh.
Because if she was like 7 minutes late.
Yeah.
But here's my thing about time.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm always on time.
Yeah.
Secondly, if you're supposed to be there at 4:30, okay? Yeah. Let's say, and that's the last minute. And this is how Eddie and I's philosophy are so different. And this is why we get along so great. Because Eddie and I we're together 7 days a week for a lot of the year.
Yeah.
And we get along so great because Eddie just hangout guy.
Yeah.
Like, loves life.
Played golf with him. Great, greatest golf buddy.
And I'm telling you, the greatest. Like, you don't get to be a better person than Eddie. Like, you don't. I mean, he's the best. Man, he pisses me off sometimes, though. God.
For sure. Because
he is so type B. Like, he loves life.
Yeah.
Just let it come. Let the waves come crashing in.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here and watch them. Not me. I got an oar, and I'm out attacking those suckers. Boo, boo. And so I'm like, Eddie, you need to be here at 30 after. Because I'm still the boss. And it's a weird position to be in.
Yeah.
I got to be here at 30 after. And to Eddie, that means get there at 29:59. That's what it means to him.
Yeah.
To Amy, it means get there at 5 after and be 25 minutes early. Get there at... To Eddie, it means get there at 59:59.
Yeah.
And I made it. Look at me.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so weird.
So you're the old coach that's like... You're late if you're on time.
Nope. If you're on time, you're on time. And I'm good with it.
Okay.
Just you better be freaking on time. Because I don't...
And ready to rock and roll.
1 minute late is late.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, yeah.
And I've sent people home for being 1 minute late.
Yeah.
But again, I expect nothing of anyone else that I don't expect from myself times 5.
Yeah.
But and it's weird. You've got to... I never let anybody be a part of the show.
Yeah.
It's not part of the show.
Yeah.
And I remember you coming and saying, like, hey, I want to learn some stuff. And I was like, this is going to suck because you have to sit around for a while and just watch.
Yeah.
And you're just going to watch and it's going to
suck.
And you're going to just sit and watch and you'll slowly and I'll trust you a little bit more. Yeah. I don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Ever. And so, and now what's funny is you're now starting to be kind of part of the show and now you got to go.
Yeah. My thing was like, I reached out to you and I was like a little hesitant to do so. But I knew nobody in Nashville. And I had met you maybe twice or something before. And... was in Haiti with Amy. So I kind of felt like a little comfortable asking.
Right.
And I know Gorman in the building, right? But I don't want to do anything sports related.
Right.
I'm over it. I'm not over my job.
Yes.
But I'm just over talking about it, right? And of course I have a passion for like country music. That's like my happy place. And I love radio. And I wanted to learn from the best, right? So I put myself out there. I'm like, dude, I'm looking for some kind of internship. I applied for CMT, but that's like super corporate. Like,
yeah, there's a lot.
It's a big time.
Like, you're illegal with us. You're illegal.
Yeah.
And that's what I told you. You're illegal. Yeah. I can't take you as an intern. Just come sit.
No
out.
Title. Yeah.
And so, yeah. Have I ever let anybody ever do this except for Ray?
No. I mean, I kind of did it.
Illegally?
Yeah.
I guess most of my people ended up staying. Yeah. So I guess you'll have a job when you want to come back around. But you sit in the room and you get to watch all the producers and now you're on the air and people like you on the air and you come in and you do bits. It's just funny now. That's almost time for you to go back and like right when you're just getting in the groove of like you're now sending in material and I'm using it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. It's been first and foremost, I got to say thank you for just giving me the opportunity. And even if it was just helping me find something in town, but actually being like, hey, dude, just come in and like, we'll see what happens. And that's pretty much what you said. Like, there's no title. There's no itinerary for this thing. Let's just see what happens. And getting up early in the morning sucks.
It sucks.
I mean, I'm a morning guy already. But Yeah, I mean, it was just interesting sitting there for, you know, several weeks and just watching Mike and watching, you know, and I don't, the thing is, I'm not hands-on with these guys. It's not like I'm learning how to what they do. I'm just like looking over the show like, oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, Ray's fuck. He's back and forth like six times in 5 minutes.
Right.
Boom, 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 boom. And, you know, Morgan and, I mean, I ask her more questions, you know, but it's, I've learned a lot. I write stuff down and I listen to you guys and what kind of bits you come up with and how you keep listeners engaged and how you keep it fun and laxed and like, but just dialed in though. You know what I'm saying? And like, it's been awesome, man.
It's been,
it really has.
I felt bad for you because I knew I was going to make you sit for a while because people always say they want to do it and they never actually do it. And I told you that too. I was like, later on, I was like, okay, this was kind of a test just to see if you really wanted to be here.
Yeah.
And you're always welcome to come back now, but now people are going to be sad you're leaving because you've kind of become part of the show a bit. Yeah. It's been fun. It's been fun for me too.
It's been great, man. The things that I've learned about what you guys do in your profession is that, like, I go home like, dude, I should have, like, said something different, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm sure you've done that
every day, every segment. Yes.
It's like, oh man, I missed that, or I shouldn't have said this, or I should have rewarded whatever. And that's what I'm like, dang, you gotta be on point. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta keep it simple, and you gotta be you too.
And you just gotta go with it.
Yeah, you really do.
There are no scripts.
No.
Nobody on the show even knows what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Except for me. I don't pass out a sheet that goes, here's the agenda.
Yeah.
Because I want everybody to be as real as possible.
Yeah.
And so people don't even know when their segments, if they sent me something, if I'm going to talk about it in a week or a month or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right, Mike?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll bring something up and they'll be like, I told you about that 7 weeks ago. And I'm like, yeah, I've been storing it for the exact right time. Right now's the time.
Yeah.
And so I throw it on them. But it's been good. This is cool. I'm glad you got to come to the house and hang out.
No, it's cool, man. And like I said, it's just the thing that I gravitated most, I think, initially with your show is the fact that you use your platform in a positive way. And I told Amy this the other day on her podcast that she's doing. It's like you have to use your platform to serve and to give back. And you guys make it fun. You spread positivity.
Right. You know, to me, and if I were to die tomorrow, in 1 year, nobody would care as far as, really, no, we're just, we feel so self-important because we're us. I'm me.
Yeah.
And since I'm me, I care about me.
Yeah.
And if me disappear, other people's, they're their own me's.
Yeah.
And they have their own me's to worry about.
Yeah.
And so I die tomorrow. In a year, nobody's really going to care. But if you can affect lives that affect lives.
No doubt.
That's where it lasts.
Legacy.
It's just, and not even my legacy, because I don't care. You know what? When I'm dead, I don't care, because I'm not going to be around to be like, wonder how I'm being talked about. Yeah. I'm dead. Yeah. I don't care. But if I can do something to make somebody else do something, then I'm like, that's a win.
For sure. The ripple effect is incredible, and you have so much, the reach that you have is incredible, right? It's large. And it's awesome because not a lot of people do that. And so that's what initially I'm like, dude, these guys are cool. They're keeping it real. They're just normal folks, but they're doing like awesome stuff to help people.
We try.
You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes we screw it up, but we try.
No, but for the most part, you guys are knocking it out of the ballpark. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why, like I said, the Pimp and Joy thing, that's kind of how I heard about you initially. Because it spread like wildfire.
And we're running out of time here, but country music wise, who are your buddies? If you were to like text somebody, who do you text?
That's funny. I was going to ask you something because Chase Rice is a good buddy of mine. And the football thing, he played for Coach Pagano at North Carolina. That's kind of how we connected. We've become real good friends, but he asked me to come on the road with him for a couple of days, and I might do it these next 3 days and just kind of experience that whole thing. I really don't want
that's
to.
That's an experience.
I really don't want to, but I know I'd kick myself for not doing it.
Yeah, with him
And plus he's ending in Indy.
Oh, that's
Saturday. Fair. So I'm like, yeah, well, all right, let's make it happen. So I'm leaving tonight midnight with Chase. But Chase and Dustin Lynch and William Michael Morgan's been a good buddy of mine. And a lot of guys coming up. It's cool because it's a grind just like sports is for me. And that's where I gravitate. I've noticed that artists gravitate to athletes, and athletes gravitate to artists. There's a lot of parallels there, you know. And it's cool supporting each other, man. Seeing guys play at 8 Second Saloons in Indianapolis, to, you know, being featured as the headliner at CMA Fest or whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying? It's awesome, dude. And so those guys are my boys. I'd say Chase is probably my closest buddy, and you know, his videographers from Indy and all that kind of stuff. Low Cash, you know,
Preston, those are my dudes, man.
Yeah, awesome guys. But Preston's from Indy, you know, so we have that connection, man. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I've met so many great guys, and I think we just kind of bro out, and you know,
for the most part, people are really good around here.
Yeah, John Party's another one, because we're from the same place in California.
Yeah, I like John Party a lot.
Yeah, man, you know, like. And his album's been a hit.
And he's been a grinder.
Yeah.
Years and years of just sitting and fighting. And it's not, again, it's just about working. And let's see when it finally works for you.
Yeah.
It's not, again, you're just playing the odds. Let's not see if. Yeah. Let's see when it works. If it's physically possible, you can work to do it. You're not going to be 5'1" and have no athletic ability and dunk a basketball.
Yeah.
But if it's physically possible and you can work to achieve it, I believe it can be done.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm going to do with my voice. I'm going to get a singing coach back in Indy. I'm going to work on my singing talent.
There you go.
Next time I come back.
Listen, you start singing on the air, and I was like, I expect you to be really bad. So the bar was low. The bar was low, and you started singing, and I was like, huh. It really isn't terrible.
Awful.
I'll take it.
Oh, my gosh. But when I come back, I'll do a song, and that'll be much better because I'm going to have a coach.
Are you serious?
To prove your point.
You're going to get a singing coach?
Why not? Yeah.
But that's physically impossible. I'm just saying that's the opposite of what I was saying. I think it's physically impossible for you to become a great singer.
I'm not trying to be great.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be just above average.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Matt Overton, good talk.
Should I go on the road with Chase? I'm really – honestly,
listen,
like
– let me say this. I'm going to say this in all 100% honesty.
Yeah.
You're a single guy.
Yeah.
If you're going to go on the road with anybody, go on the road with Chase.
All right.
You're a single dude and you want to have some fun.
So it's a good experience. Great stories to tell.
You want stories? Yes.
All right. I'll do it.
If you want stories and you want to go single, bro it out and do that, Chase is the guy to go with.
All right. Cool.
And we'll leave it there.
All right.
And I like Chase.
Yeah.
I like Chase. So, but Chase is, you know, Chase wants get. I'll end of the story. Chase comes in, reaches his pocket, and he's like, what is this? And he pulls out this girl's number, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't even remember this girl. And he puts it on the table, whatever. So I take her and I text her. And I'm like, hey, who's this? She doesn't know who I am. You know, whatever. And she thought I was Chase, and she texted me for like 3 months. Like, hey, is this Chase?
Yeah.
And I kept going, nope. And that's all I would say back. But that's a good one. You want to go out?
All right. We're going to go.
That's a good one.
Hit the road.
This has been a good talk because I have no idea how long we've been talking. It's a long one, Mike.
Hour and a half.
This is a rare. We never make it this long. That means it's good.
Cool, man.
Sometimes it hurts about 20 minutes in and we're like, oh, boy. This is a good one. All right, Matt Overton,
thanks,
good luck.
Bro. Appreciate
you, man.
Hope
you have a good season.
No, thank you very much.
You're going to be with us for a couple more weeks on the show from now.
All
next week. Oh, yeah. Wow, it's your last week, huh?
Yeah.
It's so high. All right. Episode 49 over. The big episode 50 is next. Who's coming in next, Mike? Do we know?
We have Luke Laird in.
Luke Laird. Probably the most prominent songwriter in all of Nashville. Like, it's arguable.
What's his name?
Luke Laird.
Luke Laird.
Has written everything.
So I need to write that name down.
Has written everything.
See, I'm learning here. I don't know any of this stuff.
Him, Shane McAnally, Hillary Lindsay.
Okay, all right.
These are the big. Luke Laird, probably.
What's his number one hit?
Oh, ooh. They're all. I mean, you have so many number ones in the country now that it. I don't know. Everything. You look at his list and be like, he wrote all of that.
I learned the story of the guy from the guy at Losers that sold off Friends in Low Places. Is
that
true?
Yeah.
The real story?
Mm-hmm.
Great story.
There's a lot of great stories around this town. A lot of dirty stories too. All right, we're gonna go. Episode 49 is over. Matt Overton, we'll see you next time. See you.